Thank you for having me here. You know, it's my pleasure to be here and share my testimony. And maybe you'd be surprised, speakers coming without Bible and without any notebook. I'm not gonna preach, I'm not a pastor, I'm just here to share my testimony, what the King of the King, my Father Jesus, what did in my life. The first week of the year, Sunday, today, I call the foundation of the year. Normally in this Sunday, I come to the Lord and I pray, thank Lord what he did last year in my life and my family life. And then I'm thank Lord what he gonna do in my life. I'm putting everything in his hand. And this Sunday is a special Sunday every year in my life. And in the top, this one, 20 years ago in January, I give my life to the Lord. That means January, in the first week of the year, that's all special in my life. And in the top, all this, when I was in elementary school, every time when my teacher tell me go in the front of the classes to talk or something, I be a little bit nervous. And I think that's all of us, if you remember what happened in your school when you was a kid and you go and the teacher tell you, say something, and your teacher sit down and you start shaking, and today I'm same. And you'd be surprised, you say, why? For 20 years, somebody teach you how you walk with God. For 20 years, somebody pray for you. For 20 years, somebody care about you as a dad. His house, he was open always. Every week, he pray for you and he teach you what is the right way in the ministry. I call him my teacher. I call him my brother. I call him everything. And he sit down here today. And my pleasure, my teacher, he sit down and I'm speak. And this, I'll be a little bit nervous. And maybe I'm going to do something wrong. And when I go out, say, why you did that? I'm kidding. I'm joking with you guys. Yeah. Let's go back to my testimony. Why I encourage people to share the testimony? Why the testimony is important in our life? Sometimes we share your testimony and you be in trouble. And I'm going to tell you some trouble time I go through when I was share my testimony. And sometime when you share your testimony, God blessing you, and you see people come to the Lord through your testimony, and you see you put in joy in the youth group or in the church, and you be so happy because God is using you by your testimony. If I go back to my life, I grew up in a Muslim family, very medium-sized Muslim family. I have 18 brothers and sisters, and number 9 in the family. My dad, he have 2 wives. Do you have the pictures for my dad? If you don't mind, just put the picture for my dad. And maybe the people will be surprised. They think my daddy was have a 2 wife, like one of them die and got, no, he have 2 wives at the same time. That in the right side, she's my mom, and my another side, she's my other mom. And that, my dad, he passed away a couple of years ago. And I hope I see him in the heaven. I'm hoping. And you know what I'm talking about. I grew up in a family with 2 mom and 18 brothers and sisters and a Muslim family that's by name. We are not like a strong Muslim family. Only we are a Muslim on Friday. Same like there is a lot of Christian people. I'm sorry I'll say that. They are a Christian only on Sunday. You see him coming to the church. They pray at the church. They cry at the church. Since you go out, they forget who they are. I'm sorry I want to say that. I hope you are not this person. If you are this person, I want to pray for you. With the last 2 years, I know we go through a lot of pain. All of us. Through the coronavirus, through the economy, through the government, through all those problems. It's not just the old generation, it's new generation go through this problem too. Because I'm involved with a lot of youths. When I see him every day, they're talking about new app, new iPhone, new car, new. We forget who we are. Even sometimes we forget to pray. This is our problem. We follow on something else. We forget God. A lot of time we need just continue how our life is going, and we forget we are blown of the Jesus family. And I'm going to take a moment and let all of you guys give you this message telling you, be relaxed. We are in the God's hand. And 2020 gonna be the year of relax, and we see the fruit. We see what God has did in our life in 20 or 30 years in your life. You just relax and say, thank you, Lord. I want all of you guys, close your eyes for a minute and open your hand and receive the Holy Spirit and say, thank you, Lord. Give the Lord a minute from your life. Relax, just be relaxed. Forget who's in your left. Forget who's in your right. Forget your job. Forget everything. Just for 1 minute, be relaxed. Say, God, here I am. You are here not by accident. You are here not by a chance. God, you want you to be here today to hear my story. God, you want you to be here. And give a God space in your life and say, here I am, Lord. I need this message. Encourage me. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for bringing me here. Thank you for my brother and sister here. We are here not by accident. We are here not by chance. We are here to hear your voice. And thank you because you are here. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you. I grew up in a family, 18 brothers and sisters, a Muslim family. My dad, he was working in a petrol company in south of Iraq. We are from north. I'm a Kurdish. The time my dad, he just got married, he don't have a kids at the time. He involved with the petrol company in Iraq. He was like a new star in the sucking the petrol. And they don't have idea. They involve the people from Western, from United States, from Japan, from China, from everywhere to come to Middle East to help them how they work in the petrol because they don't know how to work. And my dad, he was one of those guys. And he was so happy because those people is coming. They was only Christian by name, most of them. It's coming Sunday. They drinking. They dancing. My daddy was so happy with this community. That's when he have a kids and he start go with them. He was start drinking. He start do many stuff. And he have two wife and he have a kids. He never come back. Sometime in the night doesn't come back home. A lot of time he came back home, my dad, he was drunk. And I see him many, many times. I'm sorry, kids is right here, I'm going to say that. Many times I see him, he beat my mom, he beat other my mom, he beat my brother, he beat me because he was drunk. And when I would grow up and I see my dad, my life is dad like that, I was thinking about the Christian people, this what they teach my dad. And I start hating Christian people. Since I was a kid, I don't like Christian people. Because what they did in my dad's life. And since we grow up, and that is getting in my heart, and I don't like Christian people, and we take us every Friday, we dress white and go with my dad to the mosque, and we know we are a liar. Because when you see your dad's life, home, a different life, and when he take you to the mosque, a different life, I know he is a lie. This is a Friday, we have to go with my dad. And it's continue like that until I grow up. In Iraq, every single man, not a woman, and 18 years old, you have to go serve a military. When I be 18 years old, I don't go because I was my last year in a high school. I have to go to the military next year when I graduate. And 19 years old, I be volunteer, I be a special force in the Iraqi military. After a few months, I was in the military. In the military, they go like a groups. Like every 20 people, you eat together, you stay in same base together, everything together. And by chance or by accident, one of these people, it was a Christian in our group. It was from Baghdad. And it's coming, we are Sunnah and Shia, we pray separate. That's when it's coming to the food, we have every 10 people, we eat in one plate. And we are Arab, we don't eat by spoon, we eat by hand. And they don't let this Christian guy to eat with us in the plate. Because they say he's not unclean. He cannot put a hand in the food. And I hate a Christian people. I jump as a man. I say, no, he's our brother. He have to eat with us. Anybody don't want to eat, he cannot eat. And I defend a Christian guy who I hate him. I don't like him. And then the war started between Iraq and Kuwait. I was one of those who jumped in Kuwait with the parachute. And then when got the fight with the United Nations, I come back from Iraq. And then I be a special, I be a free fighter to bring the government down. From a special force to help the government, to somebody be a free fighter to bring the government down, because we see what the government he was doing with our neighbor. And one point I don't want to forget, when I come back from Kuwait, I ask my dad, I say, Dad, in our religion, you say, love your neighbor. And what we did with our neighbor is not right. We kill him, we steal and we rape, we do everything what God he don't want. My dad start, he don't want to answer my question. And then I go to the mullah of the mosque, like at the head of the mosque, and I ask him same question. And I start asking many questions. He come to my dad, he say, your son look like he lost his mind. He have many questions about the Islam. He say, how we can do that? How we can do that? And couple of time, I feel like, why they don't answer my question if this is my religion? And I grow up, and then I left the military. I be a special free fighter. I think I have a picture for me when I was a free fighter. And you can see him. I was a young guy. I was 20 years old. And we bring the Iraqi government down. I was one of those. And my daddy was one of the head of those group who fight in Saddam Hussein, and we bring the government down. After a couple of years, I try, no, this is not my place. This, with the fighting in Kuwait, with this Christian guy, he's coming and a couple of times he say, thank you. I told him, our friend, the soldiers. And I don't forget, one time we went to his house in Baghdad. And we was like, for 3 months we was in Kuwait, and we come back just to Iraq, and we went to his house, and her mom, she's coming and she give him a warm hug. I don't see my mom for a while. That we live in North Iraq, it's far away, just he was in Baghdad. And then the mom, she hugged me and she hugged another soldier, same hug. And I was thinking about it, I'm a Muslim. I don't let my mom, she hug other soldiers. This is not happen in the Muslim cultures. And we went to this house and this lady, I told him exactly, I say, I hate Christian people because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is why I hate the Christian people. Does that lady, she was a prayer lady. She was a real Christian. She explained for me what he mean a Christianity. And she told me very clear, I never forget this. He said the Christianity doesn't come from your mom and dad. Christianity is a relationship between you and God. Those people you know whom they are Christian by name, they are not a Christian. And don't think like all the Christian is be like this. And that word stuck in my mind. Just still, I hate Christian people. I don't like them. Because many times my mom, she got beat. I know because of the Christian people. How much my dad, he was bad. Because of the Christian. I don't like him. Coming to the point, I want to run from Iraq. I want to go to Europe. I don't want to stay in Iraq anymore. I feel like there is no life. The time I got married, I have 2 kids. I left my mom, my wife, and my kids with my dad. I ran to Iran without passport, without any paperwork. Passed the border from Iraq to Iran. From Iran, I passed the border to Turkey. In Turkey, I be homeless. I don't have a paper, I can work. I don't speak the language. I don't have a Turkish money. I start sleeping under bridge. The cardboard, he was my bed, and I, in the nighttime, I start stealing food. Because in Turkish, what they do, they leave the food outside, and they put a cover in it. And that he was my goal in the nighttime to get some food. For a while, I was like this. I was waiting for the meet a group, and then we can pass the ocean, go to Greece. And this time, I was just like, I have very hard time in my life. And one day I was walking in the street and I meet a young guy coming face to face to me and say, you speak Arabic? I say, yes. I say, oh, I speak Turkish. And he speak a little bit Arabic. He say, teach me a Turkish, teach me Arabic. I teach you a Turkish. We be a friend together. My mind, he was not teaching. My mind, he was, what is in his pocket? I need some money. I need some food. You know? The homeless is not like the United States. The homeless in the United States, they are lucky. They have a food stamp. They have a place they can take a shower. I was under bridge 24/7. And be a friend with this guy, and I was lie with him. I say, yeah, I'm illegally, because I was afraid he worked for the government. I be a good friend with him for a while, for a week, and after day by day, I start, my heart is open for him. And this guy, he just tried to teach me Turkish and where are you from, and then one day he asked me about my family. Say, are you married? Are you have a kids? And my heart start, you know, somebody when he miss his wife and kids and family. The time he was no phone. We don't have a cell phone, we can call. And international phone, my family don't have a phone, either at home, I can call him. And if somebody passed by and say, I'm going back to Iraq, you give him an envelope and maybe he put it in the garbage or maybe he take him. You don't know. And my heart is open and I start cry. And I told him about my wife and my kids. And then I told him everything is true. Whose I am. I told him I'm homeless. I sleep under that bridge. I steal food. I do this. I do this. And the guy said, why you don't telling me? I'm from the city. I can help you. This guy, without any benefit, he take me to the mayor place. And he's be my what's called co-signer. And he take me to United Nations. He fill up application for me. And he start just help me. He rent me a hotel and says there. He found me a job. What's your job? I say, I'm a car mechanic. He found me a job. And start be like a brother for me for no reason. After a few weeks, he say, I share about you with my mom. And my mom, she want to see you. I was so happy to see a family, to go inside the house. This is the only thing I need. I just go somewhere and somebody give me a hug and say, everything's be okay. That's it. That only thing I was missing. I went to this house. It was a long table. It was around 10, 12 people. They were sit down on the table. Men and women sit down together. And I say, okay. And it was a food, and I love food, you know, free food, everybody love it, right? And exactly when you be homeless and hungry and you came into the house with the warm food, you know, I eat, I sit down, and then I found out this is a Bible study. I never in my life I be in church. I never in my life somebody told me about Jesus. I don't know what you mean Bible study. Then he told me this is a Bible study. Okay, that's good. They sit down and they open the Bible and they start talking and they translate a little bit Arabic for me, because it was, this town is a border between Iraq and Syria and Turkey. It's a small town called Wan. If you look at the map and you look at it, some of them they speak Arabic, some of them they speak Turkish, some of them they speak Kurdish. It's a mixed town. And they start interpreting for me about the Injil and about the Bible, and they was talking nice. Just my mind, it was a different place. My mind, how I can go out from Turkey, go to Greece, how I can pass the ocean. That's my goal. In the end of this, they say, let's go pray. As a Muslim guy, every Friday, go to the mosque. I have to go wash my hand, wash my feet, wash my head. Like I do the process to be ready for pray. And there was the closing eyes. And they put a hand to hand, men and women, and they start praying. And I would sit down like this and look at them, what they are doing. And this is a prayer? Are you serious, guys? They start praying one after one, and they pray for me, bring my name, bring my family's name, my kids' name, and they cry for me. And I would just look at them. After they finish, I say, are you serious, guy? You pray, men and women, you put hand to hand, and you have a shoes. Do you think God going to accept this? And my religion is a different. My religion, you have to respect God. Your face to the Kaaba, wash your hand. Women not be close to you, and all the stuff. I start automatic, I be a good Muslim. I start be a good Muslim. This is what happened with the Muslim people when they come to the United States as a refugee. They are not practicing Islam in his country. They don't know anything about the Islam. Just when they come to our country, they come to the United States, or they go to Europe, automatic, they be a good Muslim. Because they don't want to convert. They don't want to hear the good messages. they don't know who is Jesus. And it's coming for a time, going and going and going like this for three, four weeks. And then they give me a small new testimony in Arabic language. They found one. For the first week, they asked me, did you read it? I say, no. And second week, no. Third week is no. I put it in my pocket. I was afraid to open it. I was thinking, if you read the Bible, it's a sin. And my religion, they say, if you do sin and you got broken your God's heart, God, you're going to hurt one of your family for 3 generations, 4 generations, you're going to pay the penalty. I say, if I open the Bible, read the Bible, and God, he don't like it, and one of my kids going to give you die. You know, I don't want to do that. I was afraid. Just after a few weeks, I say, no, I'm going to open it. I feel so bad. I go there every time in the Bible study. They say, I start read the Bible very fast. First page, second page. How many of you guys like to read just only the first word in the newsletter or something like that and just pass the pages? I finish the New Testament in one night. Just reading just a little bit. And what? Same. All this is the same story. They're talking about one man. And I don't know how in the Islam, in my religion, they say the Injil is coming from God. They say the Quran is coming direct from God, and they say, trust the Bible too. Just for me, I don't think this Bible is coming from God. Because they say, this guy, he writes a story. That means each one, he writes a story. Just because I'm a Muslim, I don't have any idea about the Holy Spirit. Those people, they write the right story by the Holy Spirit, and they write it for us to know who is God. I go back. And they told me, do you read the Bible? I say, yes. And they were so happy. They say, okay, there's any question? I say, no. I say, what do you know about that? I say, I don't know. I don't see it as this is a holy book. I feel it like this is an essay. If I was in that time when Isa, we call him Isa, we don't call it Jesus, maybe I write better story about him. He say, how come? I say, in our Quran, he talked a few times about Muhammad. He talked many times about Jesus, what he did, about Isa. You guys, you don't know Isa. We know him better than you guys. And they were surprised and shocked, you know, how I'm talking like this about Jesus. For a while, it's coming, and they say, how we can pray for you? I'm going to talk a lot about pray. And what time you're normally close. I don't want to take your time. I'm good? I'm going to try to make it a little bit shorter. And I say, really, I applied in the United Nations, and I went to the United Nations office, and I see some people there. Some of them, they say, I'm a 3 year here. I'm a 2 years here. I'm a 5 years here, waiting just for an interview. I say, I don't know if I have to stay here for many years or I have to pass the ocean and go to the Greece. He say, we trust God and we're going to pray for you and we're going to see what God is doing. For the first time in my life, and I never forget this prayer, never, they sit down me in the chair and they put a hand on me. It was like an electric shot in all my body, that prayer. That night, it was the night, even I was a Muslim, that I feel the touch of God in my body. Brother and sister, after 3 weeks, my interview is coming, and I got approved to come to the United States as a refugee. As a Muslim, I say, no, that's not about the power of the prey. That it was accident. I don't want to give him the benefit to tell him, your prey did this in my life. After a few months, I got approved to come to the United States. I decide to go bring my wife and my kids. And I share with him, I say, I'm going to go past the border from Turkey to Iran, from Iran to Iraq, and bring my wife and my kids. All of them, they say, no. Don't do it. Go to the United States of America. Apply for them as a refugee. Apply for your family. And they can come by airplane to you. I say, no. I miss my wife and kids. I'm not going to go to America by myself. He said, we cannot do anything for you except we're going to pray for you. That's the only thing we can do. They pray for me. I pass the border from Turkey to Iran, from Iran to Iraq. I bring my wife and my kids. I pass the border again. My first time, I did not make it to Turkey. I go back again, and then I pass the border. And he was a winter time. Snow is this much. Put my wife and my kids in the top of the horse and tied them. And my little baby, I put in my jacket and walking. And we was walking like as a group. And it was cold, freezing. And something happened in the border between Iraq and Iran, Turkey and Iran. At that moment, first time in my life, I pray as a Christian. Because I don't have a choice and I need God. I need help. I close my eyes, say, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. And help me. And I come, I pass the border, I come to Turkey, I was so happy. And I go to them, to those Christian people, I say, this is what happened in my life. I did 3 times, go and come back forward. He said, it was crazy idea. This is the day you left here, till today, we don't stop one day praying for you. We was praying for you every single day. Every single day. You have somebody pray for? Did you pray for someone long time and you don't see something happen and stop, pray? I'm telling you, continue pray and you're going to see the fruit. I come to the United States of America, the date in the airport, they come all around us and they say, we're going to pray for you. You go to America, there is a freedom there. There is a many church, found the church and go. Don't stop, please. I promise them when I go, come to America, I'm going to go to church. They pray for me at the airport. I come to the United States of America. They drop me in Houston, Texas. A man, he don't speak English. Wife and 2 kids with 35 cents in my pocket. That's it. That's all I have. I come here. And you know when the refugees come into the United States, like this, I say that many times, it's coming like he's a blind and disabled. Because he cannot read any label. He can't know where he's going. He don't have a transportation. He's waiting to somebody come to his house and help him. Most people, if you have a family member around you, he's going to help you. No, the community going to help you. The government going to help you a little bit. For me, I don't have a family close to me. And the community start coming around me. Every time I ask him about the church, the community go back up. Why are you in a church? And I never see this man again. I ask him, do you have the Arabic church or Kurdish church? I don't see him again. I lost the community because I ask about church. After a couple of weeks, I don't know how, there's a family, they was in ministry in Iraq. They speak a little bit Kurdish. They hear a new Kurdish family is coming. They come to our home, and I told them I need church. And they were so happy to help me. We got a church, a place called Sugarland. Drive 45 minutes from my home to the church. First Sunday, they come and take me there. I went to the church. I sit down all the way in the back. The pastor, who the one he baptized me, was a smart man, and he just welcomed us and say, what's your name? I stand up. I say, Sami Hassan. And they know Hassan is a Muhammad's cousin name. It's not a Christian name. Everybody know I'm a Muslim. And everybody look at me and then welcome me. This every Sunday I was go to church, I feel the pastor, he talking about me. Every Sunday I go there, I feel like the pastor attacking me. I say, maybe because he know I'm a Muslim, he know my background, does he never know I was a thief? I was a gang. He never know I was a free fighter and shooting and killing and all the stuff. How he talk like this? Come to the Lord. Every message is he has come to the Lord and he touched my heart. At the same time, I say, why the pastor talking about me? After a few weeks, I decide don't go to the church anymore. That's the time is coming. It was a Sunday in the morning. I told the transportation, the one he take me to church, I say, don't come, I'm not coming to church, I have something to do. That's that day, I pray all the night. I say, Lord, I don't care about church. I don't care about mass. I wanted to see you. I want you teach me the right way. You show me the right way. You tell me what's the right, what's wrong. That was all night my prayer. It's coming the day. It was a Sunday. It was January 8th in 2000. It was a Sunday, and I found somebody take me to the church, not the guy transport. I say, I'm going to go to the church when the pastor starts speaking, and I'm going to sit down all the way in the back. Let them see what he talking the same message, or he talk something else. When he see me, he talk about me, or he talking about something. This he was in my mind. And the devil always, he want us to lose. He look for a small gap in your life, and he tell you, see, I told you, this is what happened. See, this is what happened. And every time it came in my mind, the pastor talking about me. Just that day I pray. I say, Lord, I want to see you. I want to know you. I pray, and with the other friend, I went to the church. And I was praying in the car, and I hear the voice very clearly say, today is your day. Today is your day. And I was in my mind, I'm going to go fight with the pastor or fight with someone. Why talk about me? Three times, very clear, I hear his voice. And then I went to the church in the parking lot. I stay for a little bit. I don't know what you mean. Sometimes I'm scared or something like that. You know, I grow up in this, like a gun and fighting and mountain. I don't know what you mean, scared. That day, I was afraid to go inside the chair. My feet start shaking, doesn't follow me, go inside the church. When I went inside the church, I was surprised. Whole the church, he was laid down on the floor. The pastor asked him, he said, Sammy's family is not here. Let's take today the special prayer for our brother and his family. When I went inside the church, whole the church, he was in the knee and pray for me and pray for my wife and my kids. I come in, I start praying. I don't know my prayer was how many minutes. It was a second. It was an hour. I don't know. Just God show me everything. I ask for one thing. I say, God, are you going to forgive me what I did in my life if I follow on you? God, tell me I will forgive you for this and this and this. He remind me everything when I was a kid until I come to the United States. He said, I forgive you for everything. And I give my life to the Lord that day. I follow on God. I was thinking, everything's going to be good. This is what I was thinking. No, not happen. It's going to be worse and worse in my life. My family found it. I be Christian. My family was so mad, so pissed. My wife, she was not happy. Community, I lost the community. I lost brothers, sisters. I lost everything because following Jesus. I never forget this. Let me show you about this one. I found a job very close to my apartment. The place called Apollo Paint Body Shop. Till now, I never forget. This is 22 years ago. It was a first job for me in the United States. I was so happy. The owner was from Iraq. The secretary, she was from Syria. They speak my language. I say, oh, thank God, you know, now I have a job and somebody can understand me. I saw work for a few months there. And then one day, the owner called me. His name Farouk. He say he have maybe 5 or 6 shop in Houston, Texas, body shop. He say, Sam, I wanna change your schedule, and you take any day off, and you're gonna work Sunday, because my company works 6 days a week. We have only Sunday to clean up the shop, hold the body shop. There is a lot of garbage, a lot of metal, and we need somebody clean up on Sunday. And I was new in the faith, and I'm on fire to church. I don't want to miss the church. I have to go to church. Doesn't matter. I told him, I say, I'm sorry, I cannot work Sunday. I say, what? He said, you can take Friday off. Take Wednesday, just Sunday. The only Sunday you can come and clean up. I said, I'm not work Sunday. And he was speaking my language, Arabic language. He said, why? I say, Sunday I'm going to church. and his eyes, boom, open like this. I say, what? I say, yeah, Sunday I go to church. I cannot miss my church. He said, you are a Muslim or you are a Christian? I say, I was. Since I told him that, I see his face change. I see his like attitude change with me. Just, I don't take it serious because I told him the truth. I say, I want to go to church. He said, okay. Next day, I go back to work. The lady secretary, she say, today is your last day for work. Take it easy. And normally, they pay you check, one check, and the company still have a next check should be coming. She write for me both check in same time. She say, this is for this and this for last week, and you don't come back here because you don't work Sunday. They need somebody to work Sunday. I say, okay, thank you. No big deal, you know. I pray and I trust God, and because you tell him the truth. I went home, and then I called my caseworker. I told him, hey, I lost my job. And she said, okay, don't worry, and we're going to do a resume for you, my first resume. He said, since you work in this company for a few months, that your resume is be very good. We're going to write the company name and everything. She opened a resume for me and applied in a company called Nova. They do the blind for the window. I apply there and everything. And after 2 weeks, my caseworker came in home, and she said, Sam, I want to talk to you, not from your wife and your kids. I said, what? Why? He said, there is something happened, and I don't want to tell you about. And I was thinking maybe the government will deport me because I lost my job. She said, the company called your job, the one you work, and they say you got fired because you stealing something. You stealing a car part. I say, no. No. If I was before I be Christian, they told me you are a thief. I was a proud of myself because I'm a thief. I say, no, not happen. This is what happened exactly. He told me work Sunday. I say, no, I'm going to go to church. He say, they call him and they say, this guy, he's stolen, and the company doesn't accept you. That's broken my heart. Does God flip a different way? He say, you don't have to work for people. You are a mechanic. You can open your shop and you work for yourself. And somebody from the church helped me, and I opened my shop, and I started doing mechanic. God can flip it a different way. Sometimes, that's why I say, when you share your testimony, and you be in trouble. Because I'm telling you, another side, when you share your testimony. I go to Egypt to mission trip. First day, we go to the airport, and they told me, you lost your passport, no visa for you, and they've been in trouble in the airport. I was with the team. And then they say, do you know because you are a Muslim, that's going to be a security with you any church you are going? I say, what? He say, be careful. Maybe you go to jail if you share you be an ex-Muslim. You convert to the Christianity. I say, okay, then God, why I'm here? Why you open all the door for me? I come to mission trip and I cannot share my testimony. I cannot share about you. We went to the hotel, to the place called the Minya. That place is like they graduate 1,000 pastors a year. You know, that is the place that the really place if you want to like give your life to the Lord and you be around good people pray for you. I went there, I told him this. He said, yo, you cannot share, be careful. I say, okay, God, why you bring me here? Coming after 3 days, I was mid of night, I come out, I couldn't sleep. I just start running around the hotel. And I was running and praying. I say, God, what do you want from me? God, I lost my family because of you. I lost my job because of you. I did this because of you. You know, what do you want? Why you bring me here now? Now you want to put me in jail? What's going on with you? I was running and crying because why, God, this happened in my life? What's going on? And then when I was running around the hotel, it was have only one gate. It was a three security, they would sit down there and may open the fire because it was a little bit chilly. We was close to the river. The first time I run around him and they say, I say hi, everybody say hi. And they told me in English, hi. That's, they think I'm from United States. You know, I'm English. The second trip, I say, no, I'm going to tell them hi in Arabic. I come back, I say hi in Arabic. I say, oh, you speak Arabic? I say, yeah. Okay, come on, stop. I stop by. They do a tea and we start tea. And then found out they are a Christian by name. They never be in church. That they are a Christian. Grow up in a Christian family, they never. In that moment, God opened door, and I share my testimony. I say, I'm an ex-Muslim. I give my life like this, like this. I share all my testimony to them. All the three guys start crying. All the three men, they give us a life to the Lord there. And that night, I never forget it. This is what God, He wants you to do something. God, you have a plan. That we are, as a human, we don't see it sometimes. Houston, Texas, I go to Amarillo, Texas. I start help the refugees. I start learning a little bit English. I moved to Oregon 20 years ago. The first week I be in Oregon, I go to the church, I meet a family. That family, I don't know how much I can talk about, is not enough. It be my father, it be my brother, they be my partner, they be my prayer family. Always his arm open for me. It teach me the right way. Even I'm a human, we are human. We do a lot of mistakes. A lot of time we feel that the good thing God stand you up and clean you up and say, you are my boy, go. And I start being involved with the ministry. Go share the gospel with many people. Go many states, go many countries, go share the gospel. And God's opened many, many doors for us. Till the ISIS take part of Iraq, and I decide to go back to Iraq. I did the first trip, second trip. Brother Samuel is coming with me. And we went there. We sit down in the small restaurant. We speak Arabic. His prayer was, God, we need to see something in this town. It was a small town, all Kurdish, all Muslim. Next table, it was somebody who was sit down. And he said, hi, I can sit down with you guys. And he's coming to sit down with us. And this guy, same night, he gave his life to the Lord. And this guy is be a pastor, or is be a minister in his town. And now many, many people give his life to the Lord through this guy. God, when he sends you somewhere, God, you have a plan. We have to understand that. God, bring me to the United States of America is not by chance. I came here to speak a couple of languages. I can help the refugees. I can share about his where I go. I cannot stop sharing about him. The first time I went back to my country, my dad, all my family sit down and say, don't share about Jesus. Otherwise, I'm going to kill you. My dad, he said, anybody kill him, he can kill him. Like this, because I convert to the Christianity. That's God's open door. Same our town, the one he was hitting me, I cannot go back. We go there and we share the gospel with everybody. Church, important to pray. How many people you pray for? How many people you open arm for and teach them the right way? I'm going to take advantage today. Like I say, I'm a student and my teacher is here. My father is here. I'm going to take advantage of he can come and stay here. And he can share a little bit about the ministry we do here in Oregon. We are very close. We are not far away. We do a satellite ministry, and we reach 1,000 Muslim people.